It was Carl Sandburg who said, "Nothing happens until first a dream." Stephen Covey later said it in his business classic, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, by saying that everything is created twice, first in the mind and then in the real world. I want to say it this way. Everything that you are experiencing today in your life, good or bad, is a physical manifestation of a spiritual reality. The spiritual is real and enduring. The physical is transitory and changing and always moving in and out of health and dis-ease. We are in a global transformation. We are not in a recession. We are not going back to where we were. We're going to a brave new world. And you can make of it something amazing or something to be dreaded. You can build into the future if you build on your dreads a castle of mud and manure, or you can build on the basis of your dreams. And that's what God wants to do, is to give you a dream, an idea, something burst in your soul that burns so deep, it will take you a lifetime of pursuing it to just get your arms around the afterglow of it. Your life is in direct proportion to the dreams you're dreaming or the dreads that you're avoiding. Again, let me say it this way. Everything that you are experiencing, both good and bad, is a physical manifestation of a spiritual reality that you are creating, whether or not you know it or are conscious of it. So in this series, Power to Prevail, what are we trying to do? Turn adversity into an advantage. There is no advantage without the adversity. Are you with me? It's in the adversity is what we were born to embrace. We were born into a world that is not okay. And oftentimes we go to church to pretend that we are okay, right? Church is for good people, right? No, church is for people who are broken, bruised, bored, and battered. And by the way, that's the only kind of people we have. There are no perfect people. And if you are married to the perfect person, you have my permission to divorce them today. Dreams. God has given us dreams. And some of us who've been pursuing those dreams a lifetime believe in them now more than ever before. I love what Proverbs says. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when dreams come true, at last there is life and joy. There is life and joy. There's life and joy. I might have some joy. There's have some joy. Bunch of babies. I'm going to read one more time. But when dreams come true at last, there is life and joy. Life and joy. How many of you up for life and joy? Man, I remember the day I got married. Life and joy. Oh my gosh. Not really. I celebrated my 37th anniversary this week on Wednesday, and Paul and I were sitting around, and I said, it dawned on me that, you know, I said to her, I said, you know, a lot better people, a lot better men and women than me and you have never made it this far. Because when you start, there's not the life and joy, there's the life and what's going to happen? What are we going to be like? And I've got a picture, I should have brought it with me, of when we were 17 years old sitting on her couch, and I looked at it and I thought, oh my gosh. Now, from where I stand, to those two people, you guys are idiots. And here's what I mean. You just didn't know what you didn't know. How do you get married when you're 18? Well, number one, you're from Kentucky. And number two, you just don't know what you don't know. Because I guarantee you, our parents were not for it on either side of the divide. But we were going to get married come hell or high water. Now, you can do something with people like that. That's what dreams do for you. They put something in you that you must do. What does a dream do for you? They do three things. One, a dream will draw out your creative intelligence. What would they do to you? Excuse me. They draw out your creative intelligence. Have you ever heard someone say, or maybe you've even said to yourself, I'm not a creative person? Well, that's a lie from the pit. I'll tell you why. Because you were created by the most creative creator in the world has ever known. In the beginning, the baseball is in the Bible. In the beginning, God created. And he created you in his image as a thinking, acting, feeling, image bearer of God. You remember the series you did on emotions, Mastering My Emotion Monsters? That means that you are a creative person. Here's the problem. Until we have something that we must do, that creativity lies dormant. I tell you what. Figure out if you have a child, let's say you have a four-year-old, and you're at Walmart and they want candy, and you say no, how creative do they get to get that candy? They'll go to your husband, right? Or they'll come back to you, or they'll play you both off each other. I mean, children are devious. Can I hear an amen? I mean, come on. I mean, you've lied. Have you ever told a lie and then you had to be creative to not get caught in it? Come on, yeah, you have. Yeah, you have, you bunch of liars. Yeah. So, you know, we are creative. It's just under certain conditions, creativity comes out of us. Why should I be creative? Why should my creative intelligence ever fire up until there's something that I must do? You with me? That I must do, I've got to do, I'm excited about doing. Have you ever seen the new model of a car and all of a sudden you go online, you figure it out, you look at all the brochures, you figure out the color of the paint, what colors that come in. All of a sudden your brain is alive. Anything that fires up your soul, fires up your spirit, will also fire up your mind. Are you with me? So for some of you living by your dreads, no wonder, you know, you go from day to day, you never read a book, you never stimulate your mind, your brain is basically on cruise control. A dream, secondly, will draw out your latent potential. I love this. You were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born and scheduled every day of my life. He did what? Scheduled every day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded. How many days? Every day. In your book, God knows exactly who you are, where you are, what season you are in. He loves you, has a plan for your life, is working that plan, and all he asks is that you join him in that process. Are you with me? And what happens is it draws out your latent potential. You have potential in you that will not be drawn out until it is called for. Right? If you've been driving a car down the road and all of a sudden you find out you're in the other lane and you skillfully dodge the other person, how'd you do that? Your brain and your body is so complex, it can take things that enter your subconscious and process it to your conscience and avoid you getting killed. I mean, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I read that somewhere. Right? But it takes a dream, something out there that you are moving toward every day, little by little, moment by moment, here a little and there a little. Here's the third thing that it will do. Dreams will lead you to discover your primary purpose. Now, I can tell you if you're looking for your purpose in life, I can tell you what it is. Here it is in four things. To know God, love God, to love what he loves, and do what he's blessing. Now, you don't have to look any further. That problem has been solved. Now, if you want to know what you were put on this planet to do that is uniquely you, you were put on this planet to have fun. Oh, yeah. And here's what fun stands for. You were put on this planet to start something, to support something that is fresh, unique, and needed. Fun. Now, there is a difference, a huge difference. Matter of fact, I put it here in your outline. You want to be needed, not necessary. Let me explain the difference. Necessary, water is necessary. Right? Anybody disagree with that? Water is necessary. Water is, I want water when I want water. How about you? I only know, I've been an adult for a very long time. I've lived in several states. I've had utilities, you know, with several different companies. I've never, ever, ever, ever known my water supplier other than paying the bill, other than where I live now, only because I, you know, it's right down from where I live. I don't go visit them. I don't send them anything for Christmas. I don't send them thank you notes. I don't want them to take me on a tour of the factory. I do not know. I do not want to know, ever want to know how they purify the water. Just send it to me. I want it under pressure and ready to go, fresh and clean, right? If I want to brush my teeth, I want water. If I want to take a shower, I want water. If I want to boil some water, I want water. If I want water, I want water. I want water. Water is ubiquitous. It's basically, we don't care where it comes from, just so it comes. And a lot of people want to be like water. They want to be constantly needed, always on, under pressure. No, no, no. You do not want to be necessary. You want to be needed. Champagne has water in it, right? Wine has water in it, but it's not necessary. Some of you might, well, somebody turn your phone off, please, or call them back and say, hey, Dave's in the middle of something. Thank you. Or give it to me and I'll talk to him. You know, some of you say, well, you know, for me, wine is necessary. No, well, then you got a problem. Wine is, you use wine or champagne to celebrate something, for a special occasion, to bring something out. You know, wine has water in it, but it has more. It's planted, it's nurtured, it's babied, it's pampered, it's taken care of, it's named. Right? And Paul and I were at a restaurant the other night, and they gave us a menu and had the wine list, and underneath a certain wine, it had some numbers. And she said, was that what they call it? I said, no, that was when it was... that was the date it was bottled. Well, wine is something we need to help us celebrate. Water is something that is necessary to help us live. You don't necessarily want to be necessary, but you want to be needed. You want to be to life like fine wine. You want to be something that's prepared and matured and beautiful and has just the right blend for the right need at the right time. You want to find a fit, right? So be careful that you say, boy, God, just, you know, make me so wonderful that everyone's going to need me every single day. Are you sure? No, I don't think so. What do dreams do, not just to us, draw out our creative intelligence, our latent potential, and help us find our primary purpose? I knew when I was 18 years old what my primary purpose is. And you may not know what your primary purpose is, and you're 25 or 35 or 45, and you don't have to. It's just be on the hunt for it. Be on the hunt for it, because here's what happens in the pursuit of a dream. There are three things that happen in the pursuit of a dream that dreams do for you. The first thing they do is help give you a sense of destiny. Which basically says, I need to get up in the morning. I have something to do. I love what Paul said. He says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling. How many of you know what Monster.com's branding statement is? Your calling is calling. You have a calling. And only you can find out what that calling is. And that calling is uniquely you. It is a spiritual thing. It went into how you were created and how you were designed, how God put you together with the personalities and the set of strengths. And every set of strength also has a concurrent set of weaknesses, right? So you can take your strength and turn them into bigger strengths, or you can turn them into weaknesses. So God designed you and created. So every single day you get up, it doesn't matter what the economy is like or where you are or how you feel, you step back into a sense of, I am here for a purpose. God has set my days. He has numbered the hairs on my head. He knows exactly where I am, what I'm going through. He can find me, promote me, and bless me any moment he gets ready to. And he will be ready to when you are ready. And I know what you're saying. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because if you're ready, you'd already be there. Do you live every single day with a sense of destiny? It is not easy you're looking for. Worth it. Worth it. The best things in my life have been the hardest things. It has been hard to stay married for 37 years. And I absolutely know Paula would say that. It's been hard to stay faithful for 37 years. It's been hard to get up and go to college when I was sick and tired and then go to a job like many of you have done. It's been hard to sacrifice. It's been hard to go. It was hard to move here. This October, we will have moved to Nashville 20 years ago. It was hard to come and with a dream and a passion and a desire to create a movement, to be a part of a gathering of people who would love God and know God and do what he does and love what he loves and experience his grace and be set free and be free from religion and all the other stuff that bonds us and binds us and keeps us down rather than free. It is something that is a part of me. It's a calling. And you know what? You have a calling. You say, well, what is it? I don't know. I know one thing, when I went and told my mom and dad, I said, Mom and Dad, God has called me to, see, when I was called to be a pastor and all the baggage that that meant. And I wore it like a wet suit for about 10 years. Because a pastor is supposed to be nice and sweet and wear a tie and stand up and, you know, turn to Matthew 17, verse 14 and 15. And I'll tell you what it means. I don't want to know what it means. How about you? I want to know how to keep my nose above water. I want to know how to make it in a world where my job is going away. I want to know where is God in all this insanity, right? I don't want to be good for nothing. I don't want to be nice. He's not. My daughters bring home girls, you know, for the years. What? He's nice. Well, watch out. I get my gun out. He's nice. Boldly bad or boldly good. Nice. I don't want to be Arnold Schwarzenegger or Pee Wee Herman. William Wallace, you know, right in the middle, you know. Right? What do dreams do? They give you a sense of destiny. And don't poo-poo this and don't say, well, that sounds silly or it isn't silly. It's where life is lived, where real life is lived and why you're here. And again, I hurry, but do you understand the odds against you making it this far? You understand the odds against you just being conceived, for one thing. The odds of you being birthed on another thing. The odds of you surviving your childhood diseases. The odds of you ever getting into college, can we talk? The odds of you ever getting out of college. And some of you say, I may never get out. Yeah, you will. You'll get out. Do you not get up every day and feel a sense of destiny? Do you not feel like you were born to sit around a king's table and eat caviar rather than eating from a garbage can like you're doing right now? Don't you feel like there's something in you that says you were born, that you're unique and you're different, and you are in some ways special to the one who created you? Are you with me? The second thing that dreams will do for you is they will give you a sense of direction. I mean, we were born into a world, I mean, particularly in our country, you can do almost anything. And if you've been around people who are passionate about stuff that they do that you would never want to do in a million years, would you ever want to just cut people's chest open and rip their heart out and put a new one in? This has never really been appealing to me. Just a tad bit more pressure, right? Have you ever been around people who paint? I don't think with people, but people who paint houses and whistle are weird. Oh, my God. That's one of the reasons I ain't going to hell, because I ain't painting nobody's house. There may not be no fire in hell, but I guarantee you there'll be houses that need painting. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm not going. I mean, people who love painting houses, people who love mowing lawns, whatever. You know, I mean, have you know these people who do these things and they're joyful and they're happy? Why? Because they are moving in a direction of their greatest joy. And by the way, that is what you will know when your greatest joy. My greatest joy is to do what I was created to do, to fulfill my destiny and purpose. My greatest joy in life is when you get it and you walk out of here and you live the life you were intended. That's my payoff. Think of Jesus. Jesus, I mean, wouldn't that have been a fun household just to be around? Here's Jesus, here's James, here's Joseph, here's Mary. Can you just see Jesus and, you know, James playing? Can you hear Mary step in and say, James, why don't you be more like your brother Jesus? That'd have been a bummer. Can you just hear James saying, well, Mother, now that you mention it, why can't you be more like Jesus? I mean, would you love to have a perfect brother? I think not. But he grows up. He finally goes public into what his destiny is. He unscrolls Isaiah and reads from Isaiah 6. For God has anointed me. I'm here to set the captives free, to recover sight to the blind. Luke 4. And then from that point on, listen to what it says. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and be raised. And what Jesus knew that no one else understood until after it was all done, that it's better to come up from the dead than to come down from a cross. How did he know? It was his must. He must go to Jerusalem. And here's our problem. Most of us have absolutely no must that we're moving toward. Are you with me? So of course every day is boring. Of course every adversity is blown out of proportion. Of course you don't have any creative ways of finding of how to fund your college education except borrow money and be in debt for the next 25 years. And Dave Ramsey didn't tell me to say that. I mean, we went through private school, 4 years of college, 3 years of graduate school, 2 years of seminary, 2 years of graduate school, 10 years of private education, and Paul and I somehow paid for it and didn't borrow one dime. And this is before Dave Ramsey was born. And I remember how hard it was to work and pay for that. But I look back now and say, smart Dave. How smart was I? Well, I don't brag too much. I borrowed money to buy tires. But here's my point. When it came time for tuition, we had to get it. It was a must. You know what I'm saying? So many of us have got way too many. Oh, it doesn't work out. When we got married, it was like, we are going to stay married until we die or commit murder, whichever comes first. Right? I mean, and that's the third thing that dreams do. They give you a sense of determination. I will do this. You know what God called me to do when he called me to speak for him and write for him? The first thing is to acknowledge it. That was all I had to do, is tell people. And I went and told my mom and dad. My mom and dad asked me to leave home. Now, looking back, I could have done it a lot better. But nonetheless, it was not fun. That was not a fun thing. I mean, there are a lot of things. And then the next step was to, you know, tell everyone else. The next step was to start, you know, taking the Bible more seriously. And the next step was to recognize, you know what, I'm in a university going in a direction. I need to go to a different place. And that next step was to withdraw from school to figure out what I want to do next. And realize, thinking that everything I had done had wasted. And it really didn't waste, because it got me through school. It gave me a trade and a skill as a tool and die maker. And now, and I look back now and I think of all those little decisions that were perfectly right where they ought to be, taking the step on the journey. I look back now and treasure. I pastored my first church when I was 18 years old, and the only reason I got to be their pastor is that the church was closed. And I wrote them and said, I'll come for free. And I had a new Vega. I figured, you know what? That thing will last forever. And I remember driving to Fordsville, Kentucky that one year and going to West Kentucky University and then getting married, and Paula worked and we lived in here. And I mean, it was just one constant, you know, blur, but we were on a journey. We had a destiny. My parents thought, well, you get married, you're 18, you'll have kids between you're 18, you know, and a half. And it doesn't work quite that way, hopefully. And, you know, we waited bunches of years before we had kids and went to school and moved to Huntsville, Alabama, and moved. I mean, the whole journey. You know what I'm talking about? That's what makes life fun, isn't it? That journey, that going here, that starting with nothing, that pursuing, that getting up every day with that must down in your gut that gives you a sense of destiny and a sense of direction and a sense of determination. And I'm just saying, if you don't have that, why not? Why would you ever live another day without a sense of destiny and a sense of direction in your life? Of course you don't have any direction in your life because buying a new car isn't big enough. Another house isn't big enough. That's not a dream. It's a thing. And things are good as their servants, terrible as they are masters. Can you hear an amen? Nothing wrong with having money. Everything money, wrong with money having you. Money is never the problem. Some of you are miserable because the first thing question you ask in anything is how. Who gives a rip? It doesn't matter. The money will show up. Are you with me? The money will show up. Most of us don't know why or what. First thing, and we're going to talk, I don't want to get too far into next week because we're going to talk about turning cans into cans. But, you know, I'm just telling you, money is never a problem. If you want to go to school, money is never a problem. And stop borrowing it from everyone who'll give you a dollar and a dime so that you'll be in debt for the next 25 years. Don't go to school, pay for it, work your butt off. You'll learn more and be transformed more by the process. I mean, do you understand? We all know this, don't we? What we sweat for and what we labor for and what we sacrifice for, we're transformed by. None of us have a problem with that. Our problem is the for, isn't it? What for? What's worth this? What's worth fighting? Matter of fact, the next series I'm going to do starting on Easter is entitled Fight Back. Sometimes you can't turn the other cheek. Have you ever heard someone say, the best things in life are free? They are, but you're going to have to bloody the nose of the bully to keep them. Hello? Do you get up every single day with this understanding that you have this great brain, this intelligence, this creativity? You have this potential, this latent within you that needs to be drawn out. It needs to be challenged. It needs to be called out. It needs something so big that it would take the rest of your life trying to wrestle it to the ground and do something special with it. And when you're done, it'll be so big that you can hand it off to the next generation. And I'm telling you, one of the best things that's going on in the world right now is our value systems are being realigned. No longer do we believe that we can finance our way to happiness and postpone the realities of hard work and sacrifice and doing something worth doing. Amen. You say, that's just good conservative republicanism. No, that's the Bible. That's the Word of God. That's truth. And it knows no political persuasion. That was a good day. I liked it too, baby. Really good. Now, let me stop. You know, before I close, some of you say, well, that's all well and good. I understand that. I understand that I need a sense of destiny and direction and determination. But I don't know what my dream is. Okay, good. Let me give you four ways to find it. One, find a need and fill it. See, here's the thing about when you start finding your dream, it's not glamorous. Find the need and fill it. Find a wrong and right it. For me, as I saw church becoming this Mr. Do Good, sweetheart, lie to the rest of the world, hypocrite, we love God, we hate you environment. Where people were bored to tears and beat up and brutalized, where they were threatened with hell and rejected because, you know, of something they had done or failed to do. Rules that were so difficult to understand, the people preaching the rules didn't understand them nor live by them. You know, just rabbit trail. God did not give you, us, the Ten Commandments in order us to get us to live by the rules. He gave them to us in order to teach us that we can't. And he has a better way. And it's called grace. And it's called Jesus. And it's called forgiveness and redemption and adoption. All that really cool stuff we don't talk about. Because we'd rather talk about the rules. We'd rather beat people up and separate because we're afraid God's dead. Well, I got to tell you, he ain't dead. And he doesn't have heartburn. He has not left the building and thrown us the keys and said, good luck. He told me to tell you he is alive and well. And he's in a great mood. And his purposes are right on time. You feel it, you find the need and fill it, you join God. You find a wrong and right it, you join God. You find a hurt and heal it, and you join God. You find a load and lift it, you join God. Here is the key. What is it that you must do? And until you find a must do, even God can't help you. That was good. Let me write that down. Somebody Twitter that back to me. If you can't find a must-do, even God can't help you. How else will you be heroic? How else will you be inspiring? How else will you find out just what you can do? How else will you ever find out if you're smart enough? You listen, if all you do is study to pass a test, you can be brain dead and pass a test. Can I hear an amen? Come on. One of the most disillusioning things in my life is when I finally got in the doctor program, which was like the hardest thing in the whole world. You thought I'd want to steal the gold fillings out of the Pope's teeth or something. When I finally got in the doctor program, when I found out it's just a bunch of dumb people who can pay the dues. Oh, shoot. I thought maybe this was like really special. No. You know what brings out the best in us? When we are passionate in pursuit of something that is noble, loving, honorable, true, and beautiful, i.e. God. So if you want to find a dream, find a need and fill it. Find a wrong and right it. Find a hurt and heal it. Find the load and lift it. And if none of that is, if you're able to do that yet, here's the other thing I suggest to do. And a lot of people have benefited from this. Matter of fact, I had a lot of people between services say that this is really what they're going to do. Find a dream or a dreamer and support it. And you'll put yourself in the space, that creative space, where things are created out of nothing. Are you with me? You can do those things. Or you can leave here miserable and tired. You can go back and listen to all of the bilge water that's being pumped across the airwaves about the crisis. I'm sick of that. I am just sick. These are lies. We are not in a crisis. And if we keep acting and behaving and believing like we do, we will be in a God-awful crisis. You know what we're in? We're in a global transformation, the likes of which we have never seen, because we live in a new world. It's wallless, wireless, and worn out. And it's nothing bad unless we make it bad. We can do something and create something beautiful. My dream, here's my dream, that men and women who love Jesus will lead the way in starting the companies and providing solutions and being the doctors and legislators and painters and narrators and poets and everything else that our society needs to be lifted into the new world. That those of us who love Jesus and walk with Jesus and fear Jesus and worship Jesus wouldn't be weird, but we would be worldly. You say, Yeah. We're so scared of being worldly and being godly that we're neither. Remember this. Jesus in John 17 did not pray, "Father, take them out of the world." He said, "Keep them in the world." That's where, I mean, if we're not supposed to be salt and light and redemption in this dark night, why in God's name are we still here? I mean, I believe hot dogs and football games are fun too. But if that's all there is, I'm sorry. Let's pray. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name this morning to stir us up down deep in our soul. I pray for some man who is here today who wants to be a man instead of a whining, complaining little huddle of nerves who is always upset at their parents or their wife or their job or something. But a man who wants to stand up and be a man and say, "God, put down deep in my soul a dream so big, so awesome, so audacious, so frightening, so scary, even to speak it out loud scares me." I pray for a woman in this place who's been discounted and overlooked. Her brain has been lobotomized over someone who obsesses over her body. I pray you'll set her free from being a victim or an object of someone's lust and desire to grow to be the amazing, strong, smart, feminine, loving, gracious human being that can change the world. I pray for some teenagers in this room, Father, whose lives, whose decisions are being made right now, where they throw their lives away, following a bunch of losers down a loser's lane, or where they be strong young men and women and grow to be godly men and women who will seize their lives, seize their joy, and seize the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Go get them.